Good evening. It's about the time that we would be gathered together to worship, and we are going to continue our study through the parables of Jesus. Today, our parables take us to Matthew chapter 21 and verse 23, and Jesus' response to some of the Jewish leaders questioning Jesus, "By what authority are you doing these things?" I ask that you would stay with me for a few moments tonight as we discuss the topic of the parable of the two sons. Good evening. Before we look at our examination of the parable of the two sons tonight, I just wanted to make a quick announcement. This will likely be the last lemonade that you will get on Sunday evening. We will be meeting face to face for worship next week on the 24th. And so we will have two separate services. And I realize that only half of you will be at each of those. But we will have two separate services in the morning and the evening. And so we will forego the Sunday evening lemonade, but we'll still get the Monday through Friday. And I hope that they continue to be an encouragement to you as we move through this kind of uncharted territory. Our parable for tonight, the parable of the two sons, takes us to Matthew chapter 21. And again, we won't take the time to read all of the parable, but as often happens, and we mentioned this a few days ago, Jesus' parables often come as a result of something else that happens or a question that he has been asked. And so if we look in Matthew 21 and verse 23, Jesus is asked this question of the chief priests and the elders, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" And as Jesus often did, he answered their question with a question of his own, the baptism of John. Whence was it? From heaven or from men? And of course, they refused to answer, seeing the difficult position that would put them in. Jesus then uses this parable as a mirror for them to see themselves in contrast to those whom they despised. The parable itself is a very plain one, one that probably happens in this world on a daily basis. I know from personal experience that I have at one time or another been both of these sons with my earthly father and my heavenly father. The father says to both of his sons, "Son, go work in the vineyard." The request that the father is making is not an off-the-wall request. This is something that would happen probably each and every day of their lives. And so it's not something that he's asking that's out of the ordinary. After all, the vineyard will likely one day be the son's to care for. So it's not unreasonable for that son to learn to work in that vineyard. In his arrogance, the first son refuses to go. In the parable, this son is representative of the publicans and the harlots who are in sin and defiant and openly rejecting God. But afterward, we see this son repenting and going to work. There are many people in this life that will turn their life around and begin to serve God, no matter what their former manner of life was. And when we talk about, you know, the representation of the publicans and the harlots, this is not something that I came up with, but this is something that Jesus himself mentions, that it's the publicans and the harlots who at some point are going to repent of what they have been doing and begin to serve God. The second son was told the same thing, and he responded to his father, "Sir, I go." But as we know from the rest of the parable, he did not go. This son represents the chief priests and the elders of the Jewish community. And again, we can read about that in Matthew 21 and verse 23. There are many who pretend to respect God when it is convenient for them, but we're really short on actually doing the work. Jesus then asks a question that has an obvious answer. Whither of them twain did the will of his father? Then he expresses to them that the publicans and the harlots will enter the kingdom before them. We've been looking over the past week or so about all of these kingdom parables, and this is not necessarily a kingdom parable. He's not talking about, you know, what the kingdom is going to be like, but rather he's talking about what the residents of this kingdom are going to be. And I believe oftentimes that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the elders and the chief priests got these things wrong. And Jesus is expressing to them at this moment that there are going to be publicans and harlots in the kingdom of God because they are going to be willing to repent of what they've said and what they've done and go to work. I'm sure this was difficult for the chief priests, for the elders, for the Pharisees, for the Sadducees to hear. But Jesus also gives them the reason for it. They accepted righteousness, and you did not. We learn here that favor with God is based on responding to his bidding, not just in word, but in action. Yes, the ideal son will say, "Yes, sir, I go," and then go. Words without works are worthless. And those are not my thoughts, but God's. James chapter 1 and verse 22 expresses it, as well as Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. The Lord is more concerned about what will become than what we have been. He understands, he sees the potential that we have, because if we give our lives to him, he knows what he can make of us. But if we try to do things ourselves the way that maybe we have done in the past, we will never get to where we need to be. We need to give our lives over to God and do the will of our Father who is in heaven. He is willing to forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings. Why not take advantage of his loving kindness in our own lives and not just be like this first son who said no but goes anyway, or not be like the second son who says he will go and doesn't? But let's be the sons that we need to be and tell God that we will go and then go. I encourage you that until we meet here again, that you be the son that says and does the will of his Father.